Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, as we continue in our series of messages going through the book of Proverbs, and we've been looking for several weeks at Proverbs wisdom concerning marriage. Tonight, as we begin looking at this, of course, I always try to start you out with a good story to get you going here. First of all, this couple was attending a marriage seminar, and the marriage seminar was on communication. You realize that is one of the greater difficulties, they say, in marriages. When people are going to have marital issues, a lot of times it's in the realm of communication. And as they're sitting at this conference and listening to the speaker talk, the speaker says this. He said, "It is essential that husbands and wives know each other's likes and dislikes." To the men, he said, "Guys, do you know what your wife's favorite flower is?" One guy in the conference leans over and whispers to his wife and says, "It's Pillsbury, right?" Some of you are thinking, "What? Pillsbury? What's that?" On a serious note, marriage to the right person is obviously very, very important. Zig Ziglar was a Christian motivational speaker, and he's since passed away, but he wrote this a number of years ago. He wrote, "The evidence is convincing that the better our relationships are at home, the more effective that we will be in our careers. If we're having difficulty with a loved one, that difficulty will be translated into reduced performance on the job. In studying the millionaires in America, a picture of the typical millionaire is an individual who has worked 8 to 10 hour days for 30 years and is still married to his or her high school or college sweetheart. A New York executive search firm in a study of 1,365 corporate vice presidents discovered that 87% were still married to their one and only spouse, that 92% were raised in two-parent families. The evidence, he said, is overwhelming that the family is the strength and the foundation of society. Strengthen your family ties and you'll enhance your opportunity to succeed." He applied that to business, but doesn't that also translate into the church? A church is made up of families. If a family unit is strong and you can't throw on a switch in the parking lot, you cannot have a dysfunctional family at home, drive into the parking lot, throw a switch, and all of a sudden we become this ideal Christian family and we find our place in the pew, and then when we leave, we throw the switch back off and we turn back into the dysfunctional monster kind of a family. It doesn't work that way. Your home, your church body, your church home will only be as strong as the families that are therein. So it behooves us tonight that we need to build strong families. Tonight we want to look at the virtuous couple. Take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to start tonight by looking at the virtuous wife, and then we'll look at the virtuous husband. You say, "Well, I don't know that there's a passage that talked about the virtuous husband." Well, just hang in there and we'll see this. Tonight, as we begin, we start with looking at some characteristics of the virtuous wife. In Proverbs 31, starting in verses 10 and 11, the question is asked, who can find a virtuous woman, or a woman of great value? And it says, "For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." The first characteristic of the virtuous wife is that she is trustworthy. And I want you to think about in a marriage, there is an awful lot that is entrusted to the wife. The guy in that marriage, he entrusts a lot into the hands of his wife to take care of. Normally, when we hear this preached and when we think about this, we're thinking that the guy has worked and he's brought in the resources, and now it is up to her to do good with those resources. But the only problem is, that's a one possible explanation to it. But I think that it goes farther than that. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and look with me at verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, as you're turning there, just stop and think for just a minute to what, as a guy, you would consider is a trustworthy wife, so that the guy has no need of spoil. He has no need to go out and to get more gain. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, the scripture says, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." That's a kind of interesting description of what the women are supposed to do. There is no doubt about it that the Bible talks about the woman's number one responsibility, God-given responsibility is to the home and the children. That is the number one responsibility. But it goes more than just she has a job to do. The words when it says that she is to guide the house is one word in the Greek. It's the Greek word oikodespateo. Yeah, I like the English words better, right? Oikodespateo. In that word, we have the word despot. She is the house despot. Now, we put the wrong kind of analogy or connotation to that word today. So let's call it better what it is. She's the housemaster. Guys, you okay with that? That's what the Lord said she was supposed to do. She was supposed to guide the house. She's supposed to be the oikodespoteo. She's the house despot. She is the one who is to manage that household. And this is a great position that requires trust. The woman who is a virtuous woman can be trusted to manage that household, to be the master of that household. Guys, be very, very careful walking around too arrogant, like, oh, I'm the king of this castle. Better check that out with the one who's the master of the home. She is the one that is supposed to be in charge, taking care of that place. That's a lot of responsibility on her. That means that she is able to be trusted in that position. That is a highly trusted position to be in. When you look at the kings, the pharaohs, and things like that from the Old Testament days, they would have somebody who was second only to them. And that individual's responsibility was to take care of all their household affairs, to run the household so that when that pharaoh came home, he didn't have to worry about all the other duties that had to be taken care of. It had been done, and it had been done in a trustworthy fashion so that he didn't have to come along and fix things. It was already taken care of. That is a great responsibility of trust. And if you are here tonight married to that lady who is a virtuous woman, she is a person that you trust implicitly with the management of that household. Look in Proverbs chapter 31. I should have told you, put a marker in Proverbs 31. Verse 12 of Proverbs 31. The Bible says that in verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So it's the last phrase that we want to key in here. She is in it for the long haul. She's in it for the long haul, all the days of her life. Remember your wedding vows that you took, some of you many years ago, others it might not have been that long ago. You said things like this, for better or for? You said for richer or for? In or in health, till death do us part. That says I'm in it for the long haul. I love it's a funny car commercial. I don't even know who the company is. I can't remember who it is. But you've got this husband and wife, they're staying at the altar, and the minister is giving the vows, and they're supposed to be repeating the vows. And I mean, they're just looking lovingly at each other. And he says, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? Do you take him for better or for worse? She says, wait a minute. What about his bad driving record? Oh, shock. No, you take him. You take them with all the good and the bad and the ugly. It all goes package deal till death do us part. And this virtuous woman is in it for the long haul, not just until or as long as her needs, quote unquote, are being met, as long as she's getting what she wanted out of a marriage, as long as she is happy. No, she's in it for the long haul, and she has that determination. That is a virtuous woman. Proverbs 31, verse 13 gives us the third characteristic. The Bible says she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. This woman who is virtuous has useful, practical skills. Now, maybe some of our ladies, you read this and you think, oh, I don't sew. I'm not even sure that I could thread the needle. I don't sew. You're thinking, and you look at a passage like this and you feel a little bit on the defeated side and you go, I guess I'm not the virtuous woman because I can't sew. That's not the point. You're missing the point. The point is not whether or not you can sew. And by the way, ladies, if you're thinking, oh, yes, it is, they ought to know how to sew. Well, then you ought to learn how to churn butter. I mean, if you're going to get mouthy about that, then you learn to churn butter and you go down to the creek and get your washboard and the lye soap and you learn to do it that way. That's not the point. The point is that she has practical, useful skills that she can put into place to take care of her household. She's not a pampered pet. She's not a pampered pet. She is somebody that knows what to do to take care of her household. One of the greatest things that could happen is for grandmothers to teach mothers to teach their daughters how to do these basic practical skills. That is something that is good to do. These are things that we need to learn. It's something that I think has kind of disappeared in our culture today. Just good basic practical skills. Maybe things have been made too easy. I don't know. Maybe it's just too convenient. You know, how many people really know how to cook? We know how to microwave. We know how to cut a box open. You say, well, I cooked that. Rip. Boink. I cooked that. That helps you sleep at night, okay. We have lost the sense of basic skills in our culture. And I think we need to relearn some basic skills. The virtuous woman has practical, useful skills that are going to be a blessing to her home. Let's look at Proverbs 31. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She is a worker. If you're here tonight and you're a full-time mom and a housewife, you're a worker. If anybody ever asks you, say, well, where do you work at? I'm just a mom. Oh, don't ever say that. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Don't you ever say that. Guy, don't you ever say that about her. Because if you do, you don't know diddly. They're workers. And you say, well, then that means that every woman ought to be a stay-at-home mom, right? No, I'm not saying that at all. Read Proverbs 31. Is that what she did? Did she just hole up in a house and do nothing else? No. This was a woman that was out working. She was not only working her garden, she was not only working her fields, but she is also somebody that went out and dealt with the merchants. This is a woman who went out and she made investments. This was a woman that knew what she was doing. No wonder she was considered a virtuous woman. She was a worker. You know, you should the man be doing that? Of course, absolutely. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But you've got a fellow, and that guy is working his tail off, trying to make ends meet and everything else. My dear lady, get a job. Help him out. Don't just sit back and put your arms together and say, well, how come you're not providing for us? How come you're not doing this? How come you're not doing that? It is hard in this day and age to make it on one income. That's very hard. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, I don't agree with that. Well, then you take it up with the Proverbs 31 woman, because that was a worker. She found something to do. Yes, moms, your number one priority is what? It is your home and it is your children. That's your number one priority. That's job one. But within the home, and you see the things that are listed here in the scriptures, there is absolutely nothing wrong with a woman working outside of the home and being able to help supply the needs that that home has. There's nothing wrong at all with that. It's a good, virtuous quality to have. Proverbs 31, verse 20. Take a look at this one. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is full of compassion. Ladies, may I say that I really think you have this head and shoulders over the guys. You really do, because you have that typical tender heart. You have a compassionate spirit. We use the phrase all the time that men think with their heads and women think with their hearts. And a lot of times that is viewed as a derogatory term. It's not derogatory. Both are thinking. It's just that the thought process usually tends to come from a different location. For guys, it tends to be more mathematical, less emotional, and all that kind of stuff as they're thinking through a problem. But for a lady, it tugs at her heart. And she's thinking about a person's feelings and how are they going to feel about this and how are they going to react to it. So she is tuned in to a person, whereas a lot of times as a guy, we're more tuned in to a problem. Okay, this whole compassionate gesture that comes from the heart of a lady, that's a wonderful characteristic to have, ladies. And this evening, if you are married to a compassionate woman, that is a virtuous quality. Remember from this morning's message when the Apostle Paul talked about how he had treated the church of Thessalonica. He compared his treatment of them to that of a mother nursing her child. He drew that mother analogy. So it's a good thing to consider. Proverbs 31 verse 25 gives us the sixth characteristic of the virtuous woman. In verse 25 it says, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." The sixth characteristic is that she has character. She has character. There is a big difference between being a woman and being a lady. There's a big difference. There's a difference between being a guy and being a real man. There's a big difference. And a person that is a virtuous woman, she is a woman that has godly character. That's a good thing. That is a good thing to have. The last thing, go back to Proverbs 31. And verse 25. "Strength and honor are clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." It says, verse 25. Verse 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." She speaks with wisdom and with kindness. The virtuous woman speaks words of grace seasoned with salt. Now, you say, well, what about the virtuous man? We spent half the message talking about the ladies. Okay, ladies, I'm done. Wipe sweat off, okay? Half the message was just for you. Guys, tune in, because the second half is just for you. Where does the Bible talk about the virtuous husband? It's kind of interesting, but the virtuous husband is actually tucked into Proverbs 31 as well. But we're going to step out of Proverbs for a minute to look at the most important one. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Even though there isn't a passage that talks about, you know, specifically the virtuous husband, who can find him, his price is far above rubies. Even though there isn't a scripture that says that, we see the characteristics of a virtuous man in scripture, and we know what those characteristics are, starting with this one right here. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Men, this point right here is where it all has to begin. If we don't do this point, we are going to have problems with all the other points. It has to start here. Again, as we've said all along in this series of messages, we begin with the assumption that we are talking to Christian husbands and to Christian wives. We're making that assumption. We are making the assumption that these Christian husbands and wives have a desire to have these characteristics. So as we look at this, men, we are called upon to love our wife as Christ loved the church. It is not an I love that says I will love you if. It is a love that says I love you, period, kind of love. That is a sacrificial kind of a love. It is a tender, gentle kind of love. It's a love that seeks her best. Ladies, I don't mean this as a put down, because I'll switch it around in just a second. But guys, is it always easy to love your wife? Thank you for honesty, Brother Ed. It isn't always easy, because ladies, is it always easy to love him? Well, that came out a little faster. Okay. It isn't easy to love the other person. I think sometimes we think, well, it's God. It must be easy for him to love us because he's God. Well, I don't know that that's true. I know that he makes a choice to love us. And he does love us. It's a part of his nature. So maybe in that sense, it is easy because it is a part of his nature. But God is also angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says. There is God's wrath and God's condemnation against sin and against the sinner. So we know that is true. But at the same time, we also know that God loves us. And he loves us when we're not the most lovely, lovable people. And so the scripture says that our love for our spouse is to be as the love of Christ is for his church, that we are required to love them. That doesn't mean that we just say, hey, I love you, you know it, let's move on. But actually, it's a love that's shown. And as guys, that's what we are called to do. We are called to love our wives as Christ loves the church. That then leads us into being able to lead as Christ leads the church. When we stop and think about Christ's leadership example of how he directs his church, that is what the guy is called to do. So the virtuous husband is going to be somebody who loves his wife as Christ loved the church. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. Here's the next one in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. The second thing is that he will provide for her the best that he can. He will provide for her the best that he can. In 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I want us to notice and make some clarifications here that the point is not that he can't, but that he won't. There's a big difference there. There are sadly some guys in our community and our world who just won't do what the Bible says. They won't do the basic things that you would think should be ingrained common sense kind of a thing. It's not a matter that they can't. It's a matter that they won't. Several clarifications have got to be made. The guy is called upon to provide to the point that he is able. To the point that he is able. Not to the point of what somebody else might be able to do. It's not a matter of comparison. It's not a matter of trying to provide everything materialistically that is possible to provide. It is to the point that he is able. And as guys, we realize job loss and the inability to find work, sometimes that can be a factor that causes us not to be able. And it is something that definitely affects guys. How about physical sickness and disabilities and things like that? Does that ever happen? The answer is yes, that does happen. That's not what this verse is talking about. But we have to also consider, and ladies, this is something very, very important, because our men that we have here, and as I look out across the crowd, I see men that they're the godly kinds of men. They want to provide for their home. But if ever there comes a time where they cannot, for whatever reason, I say cannot, you have to understand that a lot of a man's worth is wrapped up in his ability to work and to provide. And if for some reason that's taken away, maybe forced into retirement or physically unable to do it, that cuts at a guy in their soul and their spirit. And so ladies, you have a humongous job right here, and it is to build that guy up, to let him know you are every bit the man that you were when you were able. Okay, this is what the point is talking about, being able. He will provide for her the best that he has the ability to do. And that's a virtuous individual. That is a godly individual. Let's take a look at another one. Well, before we do that, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 5. When we think about providing for our spouse, we tend to think of that in a materialistic manner. How can I put food on the table? How can I put the roof over the house? How can I put the car in the driveway? How can I do all these physical kinds of things? There are other things, guys, that you can provide, that you should provide, that a lot of times guys don't provide. Like security and affection and, you know, simple gestures that demonstrate love. A wife asked her husband, says, how come you don't tell me you love me anymore? I told you that back at our wedding day. You don't know it by now? And it's like, wow, that's cold, that's harsh, that's not the way it ought to be. You can provide for your wife by just giving her a listening ear. A listening ear. a husband and wife, they were at a conference and they were talking with other couples and they were saying, oh, this isn't an issue that we have in our lives. Communication is just fine. You see, we are both college graduates. And the lady, she has a communications major. And the guy had a theater arts major. So the way they figured it, she already knew how to talk and he knew how to make it look like he was listening. He could act the part really, really good. A husband read an article to his wife about how women use 30,000 words a day on average compared to a man using 15,000 words. The wife replied, well, that's because we have to repeat everything to you. He said, what? Providing that listening ear, that is something to provide. Money can't buy those things. And we have to understand that the greatest things in life are not the things that money can buy. Money can't buy those kinds of things. In Proverbs chapter 5, let's take a look at this. Verse 15. It says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountains be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Be thou ravished always with her love. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 9, it says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor which thou hast taken under the sun. Here's the third characteristic of the virtuous husband. He will love married life. He will love married life. To hear some guys talk, you have to wonder, why did they get married? And when you listen to them talk, you understand why they got married. To be cold about it, they got married for the sex. They got married to have a live-in housekeeper, somebody to be their cook, their maid, their taxi driver. They got married to have somebody to complain to or to complain about. They got married so that they didn't have to come home to an empty house. That's why they got married. After that, you scratch your head and you wonder, because that guy sure doesn't talk about marriage in a positive light, doesn't talk about his spouse in a positive light. He doesn't want to go home. He tries to find every way possible to keep from going home at nights, to keep himself busy, keeps all sorts of activities going, takes his own vacations, his weekends away to get away from being home. The guy who's a virtuous husband and a godly man is one who will love being married. I wouldn't ask you for 1 second, guys, to say anything out loud. Just think it very quietly so it doesn't creep out your ears. Don't want it to dribble out. Do you enjoy being married to who you're married to? Do you enjoy that? Do they know your spouse? Do they know you enjoy being married to them? Or they wonder, I wonder if they really enjoy marriage. They ought to know. Ladies, if you have a guy who wants to come home to you and wants to be with you as much as possible and wants to be a family man, you've got a good guy. And that's actually, it's a compliment to you. It is a compliment to you because you have created a home. You have been the kind of person that he wants to come home to. Now, that doesn't excuse guys who don't want to do what's right because it's the right thing to do. Because we do what's right because it's right, not because they did something, so we'll do something back and, you know, back and forth. You do what's right because it's right. But if you've got a guy and you can see it written all over his face that he is so glad to come home, he is so glad to see you there, he looks forward to being with you, doing things with you on the weekends, he doesn't want to be out, oh, I'm going to go out with the guys. You do your thing, I'm going to do mine. If you've got a guy that wants to be with you, that's a compliment to you, ladies. That is a compliment. That is one of the greatest things they could ever say to you. I want your company. Go back to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31 verse 11, the fourth characteristic of the virtuous husband is this. The Bible says that the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. So he trusts his wife. The last time we looked at this verse, we looked at it from the lady's perspective, but now we look at it from his perspective. He actually trusts her. He doesn't browbeat and badger her with 50 billion questions that says, I really don't trust you. I need you to answer for everything. Give me a detailed log. Give me an expenditure sheet of every penny and all those kinds of things. No, he trusts her. That's a compliment. The last one here that we look at for the guy is Proverbs 31, starting in verse 28. All of verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The virtuous husband will praise his wife profusely. He will praise his wife publicly. He will praise his wife proudly. He will praise his wife profusely. He will pour it on. I'm not talking empty flattery. I'm talking genuine, sincere words praising his wife. Guys, do you do that? Do you praise your wife? And being there at the school sometimes and listening to how some of these guys will kind of bag on their wives, and I'm thinking, I wonder if your wife knows you talk about them like this. But then I'm answering the question, yeah, they probably talk about you like this with the women. Guys, what do you say about your spouse with other guys? Now, I'm not talking about here at church, because we're gonna put on our best here at church. But when you're out and about during the week, you know, you go get a cup of coffee, you go to the gas station, you run into some of your buddies, you're at work, you're around a bunch of other guys, what do you say about your wife? Do you say things that will lift her up and praise her, and things that even though she's not there, if she was there, she would be ear to ear to hear those things? Things that would help to elevate her spirit? Do you do the things that would put that woman on a pedestal? Or do you put her in a position that the next time one of your friends sees her, he's just shaking his head and saying, oh boy, that poor guy, yeah, I see that woman. I know what he said about her. And they begin to form a mental image of your wife even though they've never seen her. The Bible says here that of the guy is supposed to praise his wife. The story is told about the Scottish writer Thomas Carlyle. He lived on a farm in Dumfrieshire, and he called it the loneliest nook in Britain. Every day he climbed a ladder up into the attic where he worked until dark. His wife Jane was left alone, and one evening at dinner, Jane asked, she says, why is it that you never express any kind of loving affection for me or ever thank me for anything that I do for you? He says, woman, must you be paid for everything that you do? And with that, he stomped back off to his attic workshop. A year later, she died, and he found her diary, and on the tear-stained pages, he read this recurring phrase, oh, I wish that you would say a kind word or give me a compliment now and then about the things that I try to do to make you happy. What a sad, pitiful way to live. Guys, you will demonstrate that you're a virtuous husband if you do these things that the Scripture says. Ladies, you will demonstrate that you are a virtuous wife if you do these things that the Scriptures say. I ask you tonight, what kind of a spouse are you? What kind of a spouse are you? Are you the spouse that is a benefit and a blessing to your spouse? Are you doing what is necessary to build your home up so that in turn it can help to build up the church or to be a blessing in your workplace or a blessing in your community? Do you have that kind of a home? If not, then tonight needs to be a night that you might commit yourself to building that kind of a home. Maybe you're here this evening and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You cannot be that virtuous wife, you cannot be that virtuous husband until you know Jesus as Savior. You can be a good spouse without Christ, absolutely. But you cannot be God's best, what God intended for you to be without Him. Because the first thing that God intended for you to be was a believer, to be born again, to be saved. That's what God's intent was for you. He desires that all would come to know Christ as Savior, that all would come to the knowledge of repentance and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lost person, tonight Jesus loves you so much. He loves you more than your spouse will ever love you and ever can love you. It's not a matter of that they won't love you that much. It's a matter of they can't love you that much. Jesus Christ loved you so much that He took your sin upon Himself at Calvary's cross and He died personally for you. But He didn't stay dead. He arose from the grave and lives to give life to all who will believe. Lost person, tonight you need to be saved. We say this every single week, just begging that somebody would see their need to be saved and that this would be the night of salvation for them. Would this be that night for you? Stand with me, please, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight. Our Heavenly Father, our marriages are to be a reflection of Your relationship to the church. And so we are required to make sure that our marriages and our homes reflect that. Tonight, maybe there's areas where the marriages need work, maybe some serious overhauling. I pray for the husbands and wives here that they'd be willing to do the hard work to make that marriage what it ought to be. If we're here tonight, there's nobody here with a perfect home. But we look at our marriages and we say, thank God He's given us a good marriage. We get through our disagreements and our times where maybe things aren't going like they ought to be. But we get through them, and with God's help, we get better. Maybe this needs to be a night that those couples would just recommit themselves to You. But Lord, we pray especially for that lost soul tonight. May this be the night of salvation for them. We pray and ask in Jesus' name.